Good morning and welcome to Coffee. I'm Samantha Watson, and here speaking with me is Kelly Kordemeyer, the Executive Director of Bethel Winterhouse. Welcome, Kelly.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here this morning.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. And I know we're here to talk about Bethel Winterhouse. And today is kind of a big date in, you know, the calendar year of Winterhouse. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about, what today is?
Yeah, so today is actually the last day of our seasonal overnight shelter. We have been open since October 1st, and as everybody knows, this winter was particularly cold. So we actually had just over 60 days of all-day, 24-hour shelter days. So we... It's been a long and unexpected winter. I know that everybody sees the snow this morning. I saw it myself as well. Everybody is ready. Just a little bit more mud. A little less snow. But even though the season is ending, we'll take a couple of weeks to do some deep clean and some facility maintenance, things like that, and then we'll be back up for summer hours for people to be able to come in and microwave food, hang out for a bit, showers, laundry, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could you tell me a little bit more about summer hours and what? Yeah, a bigger question of just kind of like what. Well, I guess we'll start there. Could you tell me, a little bit about what that looks like?
So we won't have any hours for the first half of May. I'm not sure exactly what day it'll start. We usually take the whole month of May, but we're kind of cutting it down a little bit this season. And we I think it's the week of the 16th, we'll start having 2 days a week where probably noon to five, the hours might shift a little bit depending on availability for somebody to be able to be at the building. If they change, we'll make sure to let folks know, post signs on the doors, let library know as well, just because it's a little bit easier to kind of spread the word with all of our signage, but folks can come in and take care of some of their basic needs. We also very regularly have meals available as well for folks. So definitely keep your eyes out. We will make sure to post on Facebook to remind people that we'll be opening back up for those limited hours for people to be able to shower and launder.
Right. Yeah. And just, for folks who maybe don't know, or I think Winterhouse is also, something that's, I think a lot of people know about, but maybe don't know kind of the day-to-day of what it takes to run and what services are actually provided. Could you tell me a little bit about during the season? So, up until, today's last day, like what services do you provide? And also, you're saying that these colder days kind of led to, 24-hour, opening. Could you, tell me how that fits in and what that looks like?
Yeah, so services basically are, we are a low barrier shelter, so we don't require anybody to meet any specific eligibility besides being there and following the rules of the facility. So that means anybody. Like, you don't have to have, there's no income limit. You don't have to prove your lack of stable housing. You don't have to have an ID with you. You just come in, you tell us who you are, and you can come in and have a meal and somewhere to stay in. We have storage for people to be able to keep their things there if they're going to be with us for a little while, and we keep them in our storage closet, and we provide dinner and breakfast as well as shower, laundry. We also help people get their birth certificates or their IDs. I've on multiple occasions, people will come with like specific questions or asks, like just helping people get their resources reconnected. A lot of times it's when folks end up in shelter with us, they like have lost all of their paperwork. So getting those crucial documents to be able to even apply for a job, because you can't do it without your social security card or an ID or, you know, proof of residency, things like that. And you can't get your ID without a address. You can't get a real ID without all of the things that you're supposed to have, which is a birth certificate or a passport or your proof of residency, which we can provide a letter of residency, but you also have to have a secondary piece to be able to get that. And so there's a lot of bits that are missing to be able to move out of the situation that we help people attain. And that's kind of a situation to situation. It's not, we don't host like come do the thing right now. It's just kind of when people ask. Though I will say that Vital Records is here this week. They're at the library. So if you need a birth certificate or an ID, they will be at the library today. Definitely go see them, because they're able to print things for you right there.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And that's like a huge umbrella of like many different resources that are under, you know, you have like basic level of housing and then, yeah, being able to assist people. And I know that there's going to, yeah, like you're saying that there's some summer hours available to people over the summer. But after today, that, you know, without Winter House, that's like a pretty big shift for a lot of people's day to day. What is important for people to know right now who are, you know, maybe people who have been regularly using the shelter, who there's going to be a big change after today? What else is available for them?
Well, the reality is that unfortunately there isn't much. We will continue to provide support in the best way that we can. Unfortunately, as of right now, funding just isn't something that we can sustain full year round. And so it's always important, because you can't survive outside when it's negative 30 degrees. And so having to pick and choose when to be able to provide services is one of the difficult decisions. As far as resources that are available, there are not very many in Bethel that provide low barrier access.
I think that's what makes it such, you know, an amazing thing and an amazing asset to have in this community and in the month that it functions. And yeah, I think there's so many that affects so many organizations. Here is funding and what you're able to do. But as you're saying, like going through winter and having so many of those negative, like we all, you know, went through this winter and know what that's felt like to be outside, like to be able to be operational during those months, and like you're saying, during the day, to kind of expand your resources is pretty incredible, especially when I imagine so much of that is kind of adapting like day to day. And on the topic of funding, I know we were speaking earlier about there is some state funding that is kind of up for some possible cuts that's related to housing assistance. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that situation and if that would play into Winter House. Yeah.
So they actually just not too long ago released the governor released the budget and the HAP funding, which is housing assistance programming, is set to be cut from 10.2 million to 5 million. So over a 50% slash in that budget. And that funding specifically, even though Bethel Winter House doesn't receive it, TWC does. And it is a great flexible source of funding to be able to provide salaries for people to be able to do the direct service, to be able to be in the building, to learn how to navigate these really difficult systems, to help people navigate these really difficult systems. And it's a crucial part of being able to expand and sustain. Because I think right now we're seeing such a big shift that a lot of people worry about what longevity looks like and like the shift and change in priority. And it happens all the time. This isn't just this specific situation and kind of the climate that we're in now. It's something that happens constantly, is this shift and change and decision that one method or one goal is more important than the other. And so instead of it being about the services that are being provided one-on-one and happening actually in life, people above us are theorizing what they think will be the solution and making folks jump through holes and change the way that they do their entire programs. It happens pretty much every time an administration changes and cabinets change. And it's especially this, my experience with Bethel Winter House has really been invaluable in seeing how all of that up in the atmosphere, like, it's so distant from us. It's so disconnected from the day-to-day, from the, like, from being in the kitchen and feeding your folks to listening to people theorize about why they think things should be happening one way or the other and having no reality in it whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's... constant threat of when decision makers are often don't have that information of that like first person experience and even more broadly, like, I think a lot of people maybe have kind of I think it was really great to hear you kind of just explain and walk through the details of the resources you provide, because like I said, I think Winter House and shelters in general are something a lot of people like think they kind of know how they run, especially in their community, but probably don't. And what else, like, what are things that you just kind of want other people in the community to know who maybe aren't there, you know, day to day, who don't have that experience of interacting with the bigger systems and the day to day of providing these resources? Like, what would be helpful for community people to know about how this operates?
I think one of the biggest things that I want people to know is that our goal is to keep people safe and help walk people towards being healthier. And we are constantly trying to work within our small resources to make things like that happen. And that looks like decorating Christmas stockings. That looks like offering people creative outlets. I think for us, we really, our next couple of steps is being able to regularly offer groups actually in our building for folks, and that can be anything. We want to have crafting. We want people to be able to participate and re-engage with community, because I feel like a lot of folks feel like they are completely disconnected. And I know that, especially in Bethel, and that's something that makes it so special, is that we are so intertwined. Everybody is so intertwined, and that is such a strength. And being able to support people and give them the resources and give them the space and opportunity to reconnect. And because I know that a lot of people can have perceptions about who they think is or is not using our resources. And the reality is that they're human beings and they want to put in and they want to be quote unquote productive. They want to give back. They want to show up for people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it feels like an emotional day. Yeah. Yeah. Probably it's kind of, amazing to hear you speak about it. There's so many people, when you're thinking about this operation, just on both sides, the people it serves, the staff, the people that run it. And we're kind of at the end of this season is a big deal.
Well, and speaking of staff, I want to give a huge shout out to my staff this season, especially as we turned over in January into what was really cold stretches this winter, because we stretched and did weird hours and folks were by themselves sometimes, just to make sure that we could maintain and be able to stay open when it was really, really cold. And so I just so appreciate them being open and working with me on being able to keep folks inside.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for coming in today. And I think it's just, it's good just to kind of hear about all these details and know like a little bit of a peek behind the curtain as well about what you all do. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That was Kelly Kordemeyer, the executive director of Bethel Winter House. Thanks for listening to Coffee.